world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, a few technical difficulties here this morning. We're doing the best we can get them up and running. I got my Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt on. I got that on today, just kind of in memory of what's going on down in Florida and the whole concept of season weapons. You can get one of these just for a donation. I think they're pretty cool, actually. We got to protect our kids with a Glock too. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the T-shirt idea on that one. But man, glad you joined us. We got a full house here, man. Everybody up and raring to go here on the last day of February 2018. February 28th, tomorrow's my brother's birthday, March 1st. Man, March comes in like a lion, out like a lamb. We know that here in Ohio. Yesterday we had the last two days, most beautiful days here. My goodness. Hope springs eternal in the spring, does it not? And honored you to join us here today. I got about four things laying here on my plate, and I'm gonna try to do today's show. I got some points I gotta make today. And so if you bear with me, I love the input, the give and the take. We got into a good raucous yesterday, about the last 15 minutes of the show. It's good and it's healthy. And I like strong men, and I like strong opinionated men. And that's one of the things I like most best about the Q and what it is that we have going on here. And I want to make some points here today, as we dive deeper into this whole thing. Jared, first of all, this is to all of you out there I love, okay? None of us know it all. Let's quit acting like we do. None of us know it all. In fact, the scripture says, even though it's out of context, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what I think I've tried to bring here to this program, call it what you want, a mix of Bible and, as somebody said, Alex Jones. I don't want to be Alex Jones. But I want with my whole being to begin to awaken you folks out there to quit buying the, what's the word?
The Kool-Aid.
The establishment narrative. Now, the establishment narrative could be the church establishment. It could be the government establishment. It could be the, go wherever you want to go with it, the scientific establishment. My role, I believe, is to lay things on the table that we dissect so that we all come to the knowledge of the truth. At the end of the day, what I say doesn't matter. What CNN says doesn't matter. What Alex Jones says doesn't matter. What some YouTube freak says doesn't matter. What somebody somewhere, someplace else said doesn't matter. What you say doesn't matter. What I say doesn't matter. What matters is the truth. We've been doing this now for 2.5, probably time flies. A little over 3 years, maybe. A long time. Been doing it a long time. And every day when we come here, we have something new to lay on the plate with you today. And you would be honest, if you've been watching this show any length of time, you would have to admit that one thing that we have done here is caused you to think. And not only caused you to think, caused you to think outside of the box. And every day at this show, I challenge the establishment narrative. That is what I do. I don't care if you believe what I say. All I want you to do is to begin once again to think, to critically think, to analyze what we see around us. Because those of you who are watching the show know this, that the average person that you come in contact doesn't think contact with, doesn't think critically at all. They don't ask any questions. They believe whatever bill just sent down their throat. They just believe it. Well, Jared said it best. He said that really what Coach's show is all about is trying to, I can't remember how he said it, Jared. It was good. He said, yeah, to unbrainwash us. Because ultimately, Coach's show is designed to unbrainwash us. Now, I never really thought about that. I never really did. But that's it. To try to get us unbrainwashed, to get you outside of that little box that you've been put in religion, in every aspect, we are put in a box. Now, this is kind of unusual to do this. I'm going to show you guys something, and I'm not going to say much about it. Billy Graham, God bless Billy Graham. Billy Graham gave us easy believism. That will be Billy Graham's legacy. And we could talk about whether, you know, what, all that. So we could dissect Billy Graham inside and out. We could inside and out. But I'm going to show you a 40-second clip of Billy Graham on Larry King. Remember, I'm going to make a connection here today. Blood guilt is everything, boys and girls. Blood guilt. See, listen, abortion just isn't one of our many ills. I believe abortion and blood guilt and innocent blood and innocent blood not being accounted for is the main button in every evil that's going on around
us. Amen.
Abortion is causing divorce. Abortion is causing our children to go crazy. These are the consequences of unrequited, is that the right word? Of blood that has not been properly accounted for. The shedding of innocent blood. Go back to 1973. Hey, we went through the terrible 60s. I was somewhat a child of the 60s. I lived in that stuff. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Feels good, do it. Timothy Leary, I was through all that stuff. The Beatles, the Stones, Jimi Hendrix. I was alive during all that stuff when that was going on. But America took a drastic turn after January 22nd, 1973. Because we went from the pill to actually killing our babies. Now, I would suggest to you that the pill is an abortifacient. I'm not going to get into the pill. I'm not going to go there. God told us, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. He says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a reward. And when we started using birth control back in the 60s, we didn't want the reward. We rejected the gift that God was going to give to us because we saw children as a burden. And so when we got to the point where we began to screw like rabbits, sorry to use the word, when we got the boys were doing it and girls were doing it, everybody was doing it because they had the pill. So then we got to the point where, you know, pills, well, I'm not on the pill, but if I do it, if I fornicate, I can kill it. I can kill my baby. We'll just call it a blob of tissue, and we'll go out and we'll just call it a medical procedure, and we'll say a woman's right to choose, and we'll just do that. And then the world's polluted with 60 million. It's more than that. The United States, far more than 60 million.
Right.
Babies that aren't here, okay? Innocent babies that have been killed. Innocent babies have been killed. And I'm going to tell you that blood guilt has consequence. The Bible says that Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. Blood has a voice.
Yes,
what's going on? What's going on at the abortion clinics is the spigot that's causing everything else. Now, I've tried to explain to you cause and effect. And I got some emails. Some of you still don't get cause and effect. I understand that kids are using psychotropic drugs that are driving them to take medication, that drive them to do crazy things. I understand that men are having sex with themselves more than ever on pornography. I understand that. I understand that men are impregnating women and not marrying women. I understand that. I understand that the family has fallen apart. I understand that. I understand that our scientific world is lying to us. I hope you understand. I understand that. I understand the rewriting history on that. I understand that. And so as we look at, out on the spectrum and say, God, we got so many problems. The problem is the shedding of innocent blood is feeding all of this. Feeding all of us. All of it. That's where I'm going to take us today. Bear with me. And I'd like, if you could, give me this first 20 minutes or so. Just let me lay out what I think. And then you can jump in here. I got a 40-second clip I'm going to show you of Billy Graham. It's all I need. Hey, I thank God for Billy Graham. I first received Christ at a Billy Graham crusade in Columbus, Ohio in 1964, I think it was, in the old Jet Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. My mom used to make us all sit around and watch Billy Graham crusades.
Amen.
She'd make us sit around and do it. I thank Billy Graham that he planted that seed, okay? I thank him. But he's not the American Pope, okay? Billy Graham's not the American Pope. So at the height of the abortion started in 1973. I'm going to show you a 40-second clip from Billy Graham, okay, who is setting the spiritual, say what we want to, he is setting at this point, 1980s, 70s, 80s, 60s, he is setting the thermostat for the political culture. And I mentioned the other day that Billy Graham, I said, how come he didn't end Billy Graham never fought to end abortion. He was right there in the middle of it. He was America's preacher right in the middle of Roe versus Wade, 1973. And he didn't raise his voice against it. Then abortion got a foothold. Then the land becomes polluted with innocent blood. And all this other wild and crazy stuff begins to break loose. Well, here's a 40-second clip that I don't know where I got it yesterday. I want you to listen to this. This is Billy Graham. I think it's 1986, although it could be 88, on Larry King, America's preacher. 40 seconds of it. Go ahead, Jared. You did get it, didn't you, bud? Who are you under today? John? Yeah, okay, I got you.
But, for example, I was asked the other night about abortion. And I said, well, I think that if you're going to have abortion, free abortion, as some are advocating, that why don't you wait till the baby's born and then kill it, rather than have the mother's health impaired by the abortion. Well, this was a different...
Stop, Jared. Right there, before I go, there he is, putting the mother's life ahead of the baby's, right? Subtle. Go ahead and kill the baby. He's making a good point here, right? Might as well just kill the baby. You don't want to just kill it. We might as well legalize it. So legalize it in the womb, legalize it afterwards. What doesn't matter. But that way, the woman at least isn't her life in danger. That's what he says. Okay, now listen to the rest. Go ahead.
And, of course, I do believe in abortion for those who've been raped, for those who may be diseased to the point that the child will be affected. I think there are certain areas that we need some of our laws brought up to date.
Boys and girls, is that stunning or is that stunning? In the middle of the abortion debate in America, America's pastor says what? He is pro-abortion. You heard him say it. He mouthed. The most far-left leftist couldn't have mouthed it any better than him. Cases of rape and when the baby's sick. So in other words, not all life is valuable. There was.
That was it.
He could have ended. Had he not taken. See, listen, folks. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up about it. Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. And right now, all men are speaking well of him. And I'm not criticizing him, but he and his son, Franklin, who's a little bit more hardcore, could have ended abortion. And neither one have chosen to.
Well, they spoke well of Nelson Mandela, too.
Well, they speak, yeah. You get the point? Okay, now stay with me here, okay? Get my computer back up here. That's amazing, wasn't it? Wasn't that amazing that Billy Graham? And we wonder. And how many churches took their tempo from Billy Graham on that thing? It didn't matter to us. Okay, so stay with me here. here's a point that I'm trying. Okay, do I want to do that, Lord? Yeah, Jared, let's go to Psalm 106. I want to throw a scripture in here as kind of my foundation for what I'm going to try to say here. Psalm 106, go to verse, let's look at about verse 30, see what we end up with verse 30. Oh, man. Lord, I wish I could read that one, too. Hey, Jared, let's go to 24, because I'm going to do two teachings together here, okay? I'm going to do two teachings together. 24, verse 23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses chosen, stood before him in the breach. Ooh, the Lord is going to destroy him, and Moses is chosen, stood in the breach, in the gap. Turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yeah, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but they murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Talking about innocent blood being shed. Stay with me. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them. Who did? The Lord did. The Lord lifted up his hand against the people. Blood guilt causes the Lord to lift up his hand in judgment against the people. Judgments and plagues come as a result of the judgment. It's the judgment of God we are seeing. See, we're not, listen, folks, we're not saying, boy, God's going to judge us. No, he is already judging us. It is the judgment of God. God lifted up his hand against them, 26, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed. There you are. To overthrow their seed among the nations. There you are. And to scatter them in the lands. Right? And they joined themselves unto Baal-peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Man, I could preach right there. Thus they provoked him to anger upon their intentions, and the plague break in upon them. Do you understand something? Their disobedience brought a plague. Their disobedience of not dealing with the innocent blood brought a plague. Wow. And then Phinehas had enough of it, verse 30. And then Phinehas stood up, and he'd done something about it. He executed judgment, it says. And so the plague was stayed. You guys know what Phinehas did? Huh? Phinehas ran that spear through them. Go down to verse 34, Jared. No, stay right there. Hang on. Go back to 31. It's important. No, Jim, it wasn't always for abortion. It's innocent blood! Innocent blood! Innocent blood! Innocent blood! There's never been so much innocent blood as being spread in America today. 60 million babies whose blood has not been accounted for. It's only about abortion because it's the fire hose of blood. Verse 32, they angered him also, the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned of their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was of the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand.
Amen.
innocent blood requires a sacrifice. The land is polluted. Innocent blood is causing all of this stuff. It's not our behavior that's causing abortion. It's abortion that's causing our behavior.
Dead on, brother.
I know I am.
Well, Coach,
I know I am.
Maybe another way to look at it is it's the literal destruction of innocence. It's the literal destruction, not only of your soul, it's the physical destruction of innocence.
It is. It is. Come on in here, JR. You disagree? Come on in here.
It's the gnat and the camel.
Hang in there. Hang in there. Look, we need to take our blinders off, Coach. Abortion is a symptom. It is not the cause. God judged Israel several times, did he not? Was it
right.
Because of abortion? No.
Jim, there wasn't abortion back then. Innocent blood! Innocent blood!
They served other gods, Coach.
Right, the god of themselves. Innocent blood!
The first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment, the fourth commandment, the fifth commandment. None of those talk about innocent blood. None of those talk about abortion. Now, I understand I'm not in friendly confines, but it is what it is.
Wait a minute. Hang on a minute, Jim. It didn't talk about abortion because it wasn't even thought of. It wasn't even mentioned. The Lord said he couldn't even conceive some of the things that people were going to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? All of that stuff. And I'm here to tell you that that abortion caused the destruction of the family. It wasn't the destruction of the family that caused abortion. You got it backwards.
Nope.
You got it backwards. Go ahead.
Look at the laws that we have in the United States that are being passed. How many of them go and hurt abortion? How many of them hurt the family?
Jim, I don't know why I can't get you to understand this. I don't understand that the land is polluted. And everything is happening because we're under the judgment of the Lord. And it's showing up as destruction in the family, destruction in our schools. Our kids are killing one another because innocent blood. Our land is polluted with innocent blood. You think I'm putting the cart before the horse? I'm telling you, you put the cart before the horse. You have it backwards.
Can I jump in here for just a second?
Yes.
And let's look at the road that the cart and the horse are on. Psalm 106, if we take, you know, there's a whole lot to the history of the Jews more than just Psalm 106, but Psalm 106 kind of explains a hunk of it. And Psalm 106 is while Moses was up on the mountain, the people got down at the ground at the campground, were getting discouraged, and they went and built themselves an idol and started worshiping it instead of the God that Moses went up the mountain to meet. And when Moses came down, he was really angry and stuff, and God was angry, and God said he was going to wipe them out, but Moses is the one that intervened there in verse 23. Moses intervened with God and pleaded their case and said, don't destroy them all, or, you know, turn your wrath away from them. And so God consented a little bit, but then they went on and they started doing goofy stuff, and then their goofy stuff ended up and they were doing sacrificing their kids and everything like that. The timeline is that first turning their backs on God and creating their own God in the form of making an idol started the whole scenario that 106 is talking about. Then things, you know, Moses intervened and God didn't wipe them all out, but he did send a plague for a little bit and a bunch of them died and stuff like that. And then Phinehas stood up and executed judgment and the plague was stayed. It doesn't specifically say what Phinehas did, but
He ran the spear.
Yeah. He killed the ones that made the molten idol in my eyes. Okay, it doesn't say that, but that's, you know, that was just my take on this particular scripture here. But then it went on and it explains the future, what happens in the future of the. They didn't do all this worshiping idols and turning their kids over to other gods and stuff when they were out there in the desert. So this is a switch in perspective here in this section of between like verses 24 and that up here to verses 34 on down. And then when they did turn, you know, did get put into in the future when they were taken over by their enemies, when God allowed their enemies to take them out of the land and disperse them across the world, that at that time, and a lot of them went in these countries, they sacrificed their children and did all this stuff. And God had their punishment for that. But it wasn't that sacrifice of the children that started the events in Psalm 106. I just want to point that out.
And Coach, I'm not saying abortion is a bad thing. I hate it. I didn't ask it. But I think if we just focus on that, we're going to get a big surprise at the end.
Yeah, it goes back to what I've been led to share a couple of times in here. Anytime you take a truth, and you know it's in the Bible, it's facts, it's the truth. The Word of God is true. Anytime you take a truth and try to make it the truth, singularly by itself, this is the core of it all. This, you know, anytime you try to take a truth and make it the truth, you're walking on thin ice.
Amen.
So I guess the question is, which would be easier? Which would be easier to reclaim the education of our children or stop abortion? Which would be easier, to restore the marriage or stop abortion? Which would be easier, to rescue traditional marriage or stop abortion?
Okay, which would have the best chance of working? To do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, or to chart your own course.
Well, Coach, can I jump in?
Yeah.
Just
sure.
Which act is most like what Phineas did? Which act is executing judgment on the worst sin? I think, right? And that abortion is, if we can even, here's the problem. Well, one of the problems, anyway. We can talk about murdering children inside of their mother's womb as if it's a math problem. That's wrong. It shouldn't even be a question. If somebody says ending abortion needs to end, every single Christian should say, I completely agree. And then if somebody else says we have a faith problem, every single Christian should say, I 100% agree. And then if somebody else says, we have a homo problem, every single Christian should say, I 100% agree.
Yep. Agreed.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, many of us are dads here. To all you dads, ask yourself this question. What would you judge and punish more severely if someone outright murdered the innocent blood of your child, or if they just messed up the family, got divorced, whatever, had an affair, etc.? There's no question every one of us dads would be totally 100% outraged by the murder of the innocent blood. Well, how do you think our Heavenly Father is? He doesn't say, I hate the shedding of innocent blood for nothing. Look at King Manasseh. Look at all the stories in the Bible. Look at every nation that has done abortion, and none of them have ended good. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, because, you know, as an earthly father, we're a prototype of our Heavenly Father. And if God hates it and abhors it, how can he not judge that as the most severest of punishments?
I think...
Numbers 25. Let's go to Numbers 25 real quick. Numbers 25.
You know, Jared
Numbers 25
is a math thing. And in math, there is more than one truth.
A lot of. That's right.
you're right, Larry. And I was going to go back to Jared's comment on that too. Imagine us talking about killing babies like math, like Jared's saying, and actually saying, well, maybe it's better if you kill them outside the womb than inside. And what if we were so cold to actually say that, that it's okay to kill them outside the womb? I can't imagine what you just showed me, Coach. I can't imagine that. That's what he said. But
he said it. He did, didn't he?
I can, because I tested the spirit of Billy Graham when I was in that room, and I was not impressed.
Wow.
Numbers 25:7. I just want to show you what Phinehas did. Somebody said, what did Phinehas do? And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. He took a javelin in his hand. These people were having sex. They were fornicating. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. And he thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So in other words, whether we argue about whether it's abortion or whatever it would be, Phinehas stood up and he did something that brought judgment on what was going on, and the Lord stayed the plague.
Hear, hear.
So I am saying, in the greatest evil of our day in the history of mankind is that a woman would kill her innocent baby. And that has got to be a stench in the nostrils of God, and he has turned away, and therefore, as we read earlier, our enemies are ruling over us.
Amen,
and what we're having a hard time understanding here is, it is the fact that no Phinehas has run the knife through the heart. Billy Graham could have been a Phinehas. Franklin Graham could have been a Phinehas. And maybe if somebody came and ran that spear through abortion, maybe some of these plagues that we see would be stayed. Maybe this debauchery of the LGBTQRS community would be stayed. Maybe our churches would once again have their eyes open and their ears open. Maybe once the judgment of God is removed over that particular sin, or pick whatever sin you want to, I say nothing worse than the killing of unborn children. Nothing worse that some of these other things would then change as a result of that.
I kind of,
hey, Coach.
Listen,
Coach.
Hang on just a second.
Amen.
You could restore every marriage in America. And if we continued to kill babies, we are in a polluted land. Is that you, Dale? Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah. Here, and this will kind of tie in with everything. Brother Bill Shanks brought it. He said, if we can't figure out and get abortion right, we can't figure out anything and get anything right. We can't figure out that abortion is wrong and it needs to stop. We're not going to figure out anything. And that's why we've fell down the slippery slope. If we can't figure this out, it is the highest crime, because it destroys the very image bearer of God. And Satan himself requires that blood on the altar. That is the crown jewel of Satan himself, is that shed blood of that innocent baby.
Little image bearers created in his image. So now listen, I have something specifically I'm trying to get to today. And because of this, hey, listen, choose whatever you want to. I say it's abortion. I say the land is polluted because of abortion. You pick whatever you want it to be. You pick it. You pick pornography. You pick dads leaving their children. You pick whatever you want to. The land is polluted. And because of that, our enemies are ruling over us. And then the next disconnect is, we don't understand that if God is not ruling over us, the adversary is ruling over us. That the men and women who are ruling over us are emissaries of hell. These are just not non-Christian people. These are emissaries of hell that are ruling over us. And because the emissaries of hell are ruling over us, There's judgment on the land. Look at what's going on. How can all of this stuff be going on? Other than the Lord himself would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. That the average American citizen doesn't believe abortion is murder. 33%, as we saw in Barna statistics, 33% of Christians believe abortion's murder, yet it should be okay. You guys don't think that's judgment? We don't see that as judgment of God. I do. I see that as judgment of God. So what I have always tried to do ever since this show started, excuse me, is try to bring to the table examples of the enemy ruling us and how the enemy is operating and the depth of the evil that the enemy is in control of. It is everywhere. Now, we know they laughed at us. They called us tinfoil hat people. We start talking about pedophile and Pizzagate and all this stuff and the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and all, everywhere you look. Well, I said to you yesterday, made the point yesterday, that now, let's present them here for a second, that the enemies of God are in control. His enemies will rule over us. Let's assume for a minute that those enemies are in control of us. I mentioned Hagman. If you want to listen to Hagman and Hagman last night, they declared war because censoring, we talked about tyranny yesterday, censoring is going on everywhere. Dr. Jerome Corsi had his entire YouTube channel blocked last night. Guys are being blocked left and right by Facebook, being blocked left and right by YouTube. I'm banned once again for 7 days from Facebook. And why is this happening? I'm trying to help us to understand this is happening because our enemies are in control of us. Now, you can call it tinfoil hat stuff, and I bring the thing yesterday about the supposed drill, the teacher talked about the supposed drill that was going on down in Parkland as an example of see, boys, girls, the enemy infiltrates. He infiltrates. The enemy is the author of confusion. Okay? So let's just all assume, like good Americans, that everything they've told us about Florida is true. Let's just assume the government is being totally and completely honest with us, and everything they said happened. Let's say that. Part of what the enemy would try to do then is to sow confusion. Confusion. And if it happened exactly the way it happened, then why all of these other confusing sidebars that are going on in regards to this whole thing, in regards to what happened in Las Vegas, in regards to what happened at Sandy Hook, in regards to what people are calling conspiracy theories. And I would posit, and I would say to you today, I don't know who the good guys are from the bad guys, but I'm telling you this, you better wake up because those bad guys are far more active than the good guys. And they infiltrate. And could it have been a possibility that a fire drill or an emergency drill was called down in Florida and a bad guy infiltrated? Could that have been a possibility? So the idea always that the government's doing it, I don't believe that the government's doing it. But if you don't think that there is an enemy at work from the scriptures we just heard, our enemies would rule over us, I'm trying to connect for you every day when I come here, the idea that dark forces are at work right in our midst, and we don't see it.
Amen, brother. Absolutely.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, you could, as I did this morning, maybe it was last night, I Googled Parkland. Do you have any idea how many bunny trail stories there are? How many of them? And if Jerome Corsi and those guys who are talking about these bunny trails, why would the media try to shut them down? Why would they, if Jerome Corsi wasn't telling the truth, why would they care? Why are they trying to ban the Hagman? Why are they trying to ban? I mean, I can give you a list of 15 people.
Right, you,
hey, Jared, the face of evil. Face of evil, Jared. The face of evil. I'm going to say this. I don't know what happened in Florida, but we don't have the whole story. Jared, go down to Face of Evil. This is written by, not written. This is, Jared, starting about the 1 minute 30 mark. This is a great YouTube, it's an SGT report. And I'm just going to throw this out there and just listen to it for me. Go ahead, Jared.
Self the gift of internet security.
That's the end of a commercial.
Recall that in George Orwell's 1984, Winston Smith worked at the records department in the Ministry of Truth, where his job was to rewrite history according to Big Brother and party need. For those who haven't read it or seen the movie, the Ministry of Truth is very similar to YouTube's Community Guidelines Enforcement Department, with one big difference. In 1984, Winston's job was to merely alter history, but it appears that the job of the folks at YouTube is to delete history completely. This passage from 1984 sums up YouTube's philosophy on what should and should not be allowed to exist on their platform. And if all others accepted the lie which the party imposed, if all records told the same tale, then the lie passed into history and became truth. Who controls the past, ran the party's slogan, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past. Reality control, they called it. Doublethink. Winston believed that as long as a person's perception or memory of the truth can be externally verified, then even a lie can become truth. Such is the party's method of control. And such is YouTube's method of control. If you question any of the anomalies about the Florida shooting, they'll just delete your channel. And I stand at risk of a YouTube strike for sharing the following information. But let me first say, the result of all of this fascist censorship is to chill political discourse, investigation, and frankly, resistance to a mainstream official narrative that Google itself believes it alone should provide.
Listen to this.
Google, do you get more than one answer?
Of course you do.
Yeah. Well, that's a bug.
Yeah.
We have more bugs per second in the world. Because we should be able to give you the right answer just once.
What I'm about to share with you will disturb you. This is the official timeline of events in the Parkland, Florida shooting as recounted by Time.com. This timeline was released by police to recount the supposed movements of accused shooter Nicholas Cruz. At 2:19 p.m., the suspect exited an Uber car, arriving at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School around dismissal time, 2:21 p.m. The shooter allegedly enters the school and takes his AR-15 out of a case. He begins shooting into three classrooms, returning to two of them, shot into another classroom, then shot into two more classes before dropping his rifle, 2:28 p.m. The suspect is believed to have run outside, mixing in with students who were running away from the scene. Now, as many independent investigators are asking, where is the school surveillance video? Where is the video that backs this official narrative? Now, before I continue, listen to this clip from ABC's Good Morning America. Creative writing teacher, Stacey LaPelle.
All of a sudden I heard gunshots in the stairwell, which is about 20 feet away from my room. And then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway, actively shooting down the hallway, just a barrage of bullets. And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor, shooting this rifle that I've never seen before.
Now let me read from the timeline again, 2:28. The suspect is believed to have run outside, mixing in with students who were running away from the scene. Does the first-person eyewitness account of the shooter that Stacey LaPelle says she witnessed sound like a suspect who could simply run outside and mix in with students who are running away from the scene?
And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor.
And this image, apparently taken from a helicopter, showed up in my Twitter feed. And when I responded to Amy Lynch asking where she got the picture, the actual video was sent to me. And here's what it shows. Now, do the men seen in this video loading a clearly heavy, black, potentially tactical bag of weapons into the back of that white pickup truck look more like the shooting suspect Stacy LaPelle described?
And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor.
Look, I could go into a lot deeper detail about the many anomalies and unanswered questions that surround this shooting, but it's now very obvious that YouTube doesn't want anyone to question the official story of Parkland, Florida, and the events that took place in Broward County, Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district. Don't ask any questions. If you want the official answers to anything and everything, just Google it.
We should be able to give you the right answer just once.
May God save the Republic. Thanks for...
Keep going, Jared.
And for real news 24/7, visit us at sgtreport.com,
phaser.com,
and thelibertymill.com. God bless.
The evil of this, I mean, the satanic nature of the pedophilia that's going on, and the combination of the Satanism with the pedophilia, is going to be shocking to the average American.
Okay, so I bring that to, again, the same thing, same reason I brought it to the table yesterday is, why are we believing this narrative? Why are they fighting so hard to block this narrative? And has believing the mainstream mainstream media narrative, has that led to where we are today?
Yes.
Now I'm not saying that this is a government conspiracy. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the enemy infiltrating. I'm talking about compromised police officers, compromised police chiefs, compromised people. I'm talking about evil spirits in high places, the depth of wickedness beyond what we can even possibly understand. And I don't think there's something wrong with me because I see these anomalies and say, hey, dude, I'd like to see the video. I'd like to see the video here. What is wrong with that? That, to me, that's no different than walking into the church and saying, hey, pastor, show me where it says that. To me, it's the exact same thing. My pastor's telling me something that I can't find in here, and the media's telling me something that I can't find. They're the same. Deception. The evil one at work in deception. Come on in.
That's it, brother. You called it. You absolutely called it.
Hey, I don't know who's doing it. I don't know if the government's involved.
Of course. But we know someone's behind it. And you just like you said, it's principalities and powers. It's not a personage. So
it's far beyond what we can understand. As Jerome Corsi said, it is so deeply dark, we are not even prepared. When they reveal it to us, we're not even prepared for it. It is that deep and that dark.
Now, let me ask a question here. There probably somebody in the queue will be able to answer this. Before this program started this morning, there was some talk going on about there was proof that there was a second shooter. Is what we just saw, that teacher's account of what she saw in the hallway, is that the proof of a second shooter that y'all were talking about?
No. No.
Because what I see, you know, this is just me trying to look at this thing logically. I see a teacher in a stressful situation, looks out in the hallway, and sees a SWAT team member firing. She thinks, you know, probably was, because she thought, you know, had the definite impression that he was shooting down the hallway. But see, my question, that'll be a real simple thing to, should be a simple thing to ascertain, as to where the students and teachers were that were hit with bullets. Were they in classrooms or were they in the hallway?
Right.
It should be a simple thing to answer.
Should be. So Larry, I'm saying, why the confusion? Why the confusion? How come they didn't tell us right away that four cops were told to stand down? We now know they were ordered to stand down. How come that didn't come out at the beginning, that those four deputies were ordered to stand down? How come it didn't come out the fact that the EMT guys were not allowed in the building? See, here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to believe it just because the media is telling me something. I don't trust the media. I don't trust hardly anything anybody says to me anymore. Trust, right, but verify.
Yeah. Hey, Coach,
I don't believe what they tell me in church, and I don't believe what they tell me on TV.
And I agree with you, Coach, but let's look at the EMT guy thing for a second. Okay. I believe it's standard operating procedures, and we got law enforcement folks with law enforcement backgrounds here on the queue. I believe it's standard operating procedures that in any shooting, active shooting, or situation where you got hostages or something like that, that the police keep the rescue medical folks out until they believe it is safe for them to go in. So the EMT being told to stay out doesn't bother me at all. That
Larry, it doesn't bother me either. Unless, why didn't they tell us that? Why are we just now getting parts of?
I'm with you there. Why didn't they come clean with?
Why every day is another thing coming out that they? By the way. And immediately they went after guns. Immediately they all agreed it was guns. Immediately.
Right. It was all ready to go. So explain that.
And so I'm asking, immediately they're having rallies. These kids are being
going on. I think Vincent that said it was their attack on guns was all ready to go and stuff. Well,
yep.
They are the media. They are the left media. And just like they already have their eulogies for almost every famous person in the United States and probably mostly around the world already prepackaged and ready to run should those people die. The media always has an attack on guns ready to run it.
You missed what I said. Hang on a second. You missed what I said. It was more than the media. All of a sudden, there were rallies with thousands of kids all across America. How does that happen? And how come we can't do that? How come we try to call a rally in Cincinnati and 30 people come up? There is something very sinister and dark going on behind the scenes. That's what I'm trying to get everyone to understand. Next guy in.
We're not paying people to do it either.
We're not. Somebody is. That's part of that sinister, dark force, right? Right, Chad? That's the point that I'm making.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Coach, I've talked to a lot of Christians about this kind of stuff, and I'm convinced if they had it on video that there were 100 active shooters plus Nicholas Cruz, and they had it on video, I'm convinced there's still people, a lot of Christians, that would say, oh, no, they photoshopped that. That was messed with. That was tampered with. There was really only one. I don't think there's enough evidence. If people want to believe that this stuff isn't real, that's what they're going to believe. Those of us that see differently, we see differently. I think we just have an honest disagreement.
We live in a time of great deception.
Yes, we do.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. We live, I believe, even when the truth is there, someone is planting deception. Somebody is planting diversion.
Amen.
Does the left maybe want us spending all of our time chasing these conspiracy theories? Do they maybe want that to happen? What I am saying, trying to say, is I don't know which story to believe, but I'm here to tell you that there is a demonic force behind the scenes that is orchestrating far more than we understand is being going on.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying
with that statement, Coach. And Sarge, tell me if I'm not right. The military develops what they call contingency plans, not only for things that are likely to happen. They have panels and committees and things that sit down, and they develop contingency plans for weird stuff that'll – that will probably never happen, but they make a contingency plan for it anyway. If they think of the possibility of it happening, they make it a contingency plan for it. And I say that the evil hearts of the average person in our country falls prey to the contingency plans that that evil force that Coach is talking about has in place, ready in a second to call for these protests, ready in a second to stir up the agitation among the youth in our country. Those contingency plans were made a long time ago, and the other side is waiting for any opportunity to put any part of them into play. Am I right, Sarge?
Yeah, I'd say it partially true.
Hey, by the way, Mark Trump. So I can get Facebook messages. I can't respond. I'm in jail. I can't respond. So I see the message you sent me. I can't respond to it.
Ridiculous. Right?
Okay, Kevin.
The Vegas deal, the guy that they're throwing under the bus for the Vegas deal, I guarantee you never fired a shot. The right. kid that they picked up in Florida, I guarantee you never fired a shot because sure. these are staged actors. And I'm going to throw this out there. This was set up by, I'm going to say, it forces of the Israeli Mossad or their CIA. And these are staged. Every one of the shootings that have happened ever since Columbine, they've immediately gone after guns. It's never about, like Trump said, going after hardening the schools, going after preparing teachers, going after making these places safe zones and not gun safe zones. These are every one of them. If you study every one of them, I've done a little bit of study here the last few days. Every one of them are staged. Every one of them.
Here's what I know. There are a lot of people in America and in the world who have no conscience. They have darkened hearts. We've killed 60 million babies legally. And so we've got a group of people who think nothing of taking life. Let's say this kid did this all on his own. The only reason he did it, he has no regard for life. He had no regard for life. And if he's the only guy that had no regard for life, could there be other people in high places who have no regard for life? That the killing of 17 people to them is no different than the killing of 17 people in an abortion clinic. They have no regard for life. They are of their father, the devil. And the works of their father, they will do. So I am not here saying everything is staged. I'm saying it's possible. Anything's possible in the land that we live and the judgment that we're under. And my purpose in this show is to try to get you to think outside the box. That's all. You don't have to believe in conspiracy. You don't have to believe. You can believe Nick Cruz went in and shot all those people. You can believe that. I don't care. I'm not convinced it happened the way that they told us it happened. Look at the lies of evolution they're telling our kids in school, and we're letting them get away with it. Look at it. Yeah, Dave. Right. Last one Coach. Today. Last comment. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Not only think outside the box, but get outside the box. Come on, Coach.
Get outside the box. Hey, Dale, you're outside the box, and you see the wicked, evil hearts and what they're able to do. Yeah, God, come on. Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
That box is the four prison walls that Satan uses, and he calls it the church. He's got them. He's got them encapsulated in the prison, bro. We got to get outside them four walls.
Got to get outside. How about this? I'm going to finish with this one for today. See, we have no problem. We have no problem believing ISIS is evil and violent. We have no trouble believing MS-13, whatever they are, evil and violent. We have no trouble at all believing that. Because why? Well, they're telling us that they are. We don't have any trouble believing that. We don't have any trouble believing the mafia was violent. Why? Well, they told us. We believe that told us. We just have a hard time believing the people that we trust. Are evil. That's the bottom line on that one.
Amen. That's it, brother.
We'll see you tomorrow.